Ed Reilly told me a story about you and Chuck Sibley.
Oh, yeah.
And Da Vinci once. No.
Oh, yeah, I remember. He was a very thoroughly unlovely man.
Paul Kellogg said that he just became detestable while he was here.
He was.
Charles Sibley?
Yeah. He was, apparently.
Yeah. I knew him when he was...
I was a graduate student. I just finished my graduate work.
President of AOU.
And I was still a career of birds until I got a job, you know, and he had nothing to do with me. I didn't care anything about him. But I heard so many stories and heard them myself. In fact, when he first came here, my wife and I invited him to see his wife to stay at our house, have dinner. Just got a neighborly thing to do.
Sure.
All he did was complain. He complained about the dog. Anybody had a dog was an idiot, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Oh,
well, heck with him.
Yep.
So, you know, like squeaky shoes or people whistling.
Yep, I heard that.
Yeah, well, anyway, I didn't care. He had no control over me. He said his graduate students were all on threads, and he had the scissors.
Yeah.
He was a very bad man. Anyway, the faculty in Fresno when I was upstairs there, I got the room. They all had lunches together downstairs somewhere. But they were kind of cold-shouldering him, apparently. So one day I was working on my thesis, or I was working on something, kind of in a thesis, working on typing away. I had 8 days to be done that. And he comes right in my office, doesn't knock or anything, and sets himself down eating and starts eating his lunch in one of the tables there. I didn't say a thing. And then I heard him say, "Yeah, I'm a son of a bitch." I didn't say anything. So I always been, always will be. I didn't think I had anything to brag about, but I didn't say anything. Another day, he would sit in his office and think, "I'm going to say this to somebody, and they're going to say that. And I'll say this, they're going to say that, and I got them." So I was aware of this kind of stuff. So I was working in my office, and came in again, as usually did, came in, slammed the door, and said, "You guys make up your mind," he says to me. I said, "About what, Chuck?" I didn't like that at all. he says, "Well, are you going to be an artist or a scientist? You can't be both." "No, I got it." He thought, "Yeah, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that, I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Sutton or Furties. You're going to tell me in half an hour whether or not scientists." So I said, "Oh, I don't think that's true. How do you even be a scientist and an artist?" "No, you can't. It's absolutely impossible. Name me one." I said, "Leonardo da Vinci." And he got all red in the face. He always did, and his veins would throb, and you know, and he slammed the door. But, you know, if you're what's going to happen already, you're ahead of him, you know.
Yeah, right.
But he had a graduate student. It was John Wolk, or Bob Wolk. And they were going eclectic in Mexico or something. Mm-hmm. They had been loading these little 38 shot shells.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
Collecting Bob was supposed to do that. Bob Wolk, isn't it? Bob was supposed to do that. Just have a little loading facility in that prep room.
Yep, I remember that.
That's why but apparently they loaded them all up and started using pistol powder, using shotgun powder. Somebody found out. Because he never could find out. "Oh, that's a shame. What can we do to correct this?" He'd have a stroke. Loudly and yelling and howling. Oh, jeez, you know. So I had a locker in my room, in my office. He came in. I'd heard about this beforehand. He came in, slammed the door again, rattled the glass. And I thought it was going to fall out one day. Opened my locker. Oh, he couldn't open it. Who's falling on it? I said, "It's a lock." I said, "Yes, it is. It's my locker. So I'm going to get in." I said, "Not in my locker, you're not." I said, "What do you want?" Well, I forgot. He wanted a funnel or something. I said, "I don't have a funnel." "Chuck, what's the matter?" You know, as if I didn't know. He says, "Wow, that stupid, congenital idiot." Well, he told me a whole story. I said, "Well, I got to get it out." I said, "I know what you can do. It's easy. Just shoot it out. And reload them, you know?"
Yep. Right.
"Shoot them into a bucket or something and reload them."
Yep.
He slammed the door so hard I thought the glass would fall right out of it. He just couldn't take anything easily, you know.
No, he's
poor man. He died of apoplexy probably. You know he's dead now. What happened to him?
Did. Yeah, one of the...
I'm trying
to think of a fellow that worked with him. He's a fellow that drew the backgrounds for the bird display Still Inferno on the second floor.
I don't know.
In the 50s.
I don't remember.
And I've forgotten his name temporarily. But we knew through another friend, the friend of his over in Connecticut, and Sibley passed away on Easter. And she got a call from this fellow, yeah. And she got a call from him, and they were talking. He says, yeah, it's the biggest irony I ever heard of. She said, what do you mean? He said, the most incredible atheist in the world dies on Easter Sunday.
he was funny. He's like a terrified student himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I worked with
him. Have an author named Wiley, Philip Wiley.
Know the name.
Mm-hmm. He wrote Momism and some of the books back in, long ago.
Yeah.
His daughter, can't remember her first name, but Miss Wiley, very timid little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know her. I only knew who she was. I think she was in education or something. And didn't find out. Had a whole stack of books. Bigger she was, walking down the hallway, maybe she had a class or something. I was coming down the stairs. And somebody came out of his office just as I was coming down. Mm-hmm. Said, who are you? I said, I'm Toronto Wiley. So where you got there? We had a lot of John Burroughs and stuff like that. Crash! And he grabbed my wife, wham! I was standing all down the hallway the whole while.
So
she's standing there crying.
Yeah.
So I just helped her pick him up, and I said, don't worry. He goes,
he
just doesn't make nobody pay attention to him. Something's wrong with him.
Yeah.
I was in doctor. I don't have a little while this turn after he retired.
Mm-hmm.
I was in there talking to him one day. And I don't remember what I was talking about, but somebody came in, never knocked around and comes in, says, he hated Alan for some reason.
Yeah,
you know, didn't even know
him. Paul Kellogg told me that.
I don't know why.
No, never figured that.
But he says, I got this manuscript, but I wonder if you would read it, Doc Rowland. He says, yes, when I have a minute, I will, you know. So we started talking, he's looking at this while we're talking about black ducks.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he ever worked on black ducks. So Doc is going through it. He said, this looks awfully familiar. He pulls out Philip Ducks of the World, and he looks on and the black duck. It's identical. Nobody has Philip Ducks of the World because it's kind of expensive hard to get to, you know.
Alan
did have a copy. Two volumes, I think it is. And I thought, I can't believe that. You know, it's the same. He just copied out. He's going to publish it under his name. I said, wow, what are you going to do? He said, nothing. So he comes in after a while, and he says, wait, you can't look at that? But it's only been about 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah, I had a chance to look at it. He says, you like it? So I liked it better the first time. He said,
he
got a little red, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
He was a thoroughly unlovely person.
Yeah.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Later became president of the AOU, and I was
in
meetings in those days, and he gave the
Sibley?
Sibley.
Yeah.
This was in the 80s, probably.
Yeah.
And after the banquet, there was always a speech, or maybe before. His whole speech was about what he had done in his career as a contribution to ornithology.
Oh, my.
Just his work.
Yeah.
And
anything, whether it's his work or not, like it's all known already.
Right.
So it's going to go away thinking, well, hell, no point working on that anymore.
Yeah.
It's all done, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of bad attitude. That's a bad thing to leave a student with.
Yeah.
We don't know anything really, you know.
That's it.
Nothing. I mean, it's about not knowing.
Quite a crew of people.
First thing I do in the morning, when the first day of class, I don't know, can't have anyone on me, I draw a line right down across the top of the blackboard.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, what the hell is he doing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
About this far in from me, and I'd make a little vertical line, and a little bit, another vertical line, and another vertical line. I said, what the hell is that, you know? They're going to see him puzzling about this.
Mm-hmm.
They're drawing it in their notebook, you know?
Yep.
I said, well, this is what could be known about ethology. That's probably an infinity sign down there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's known. It's what I know. Mm-hmm. It's what you know.
Mm-hmm.
You already know more something about this. You don't realize it, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I know. It's what's known. That's where we are. This is where the thing is. So I'm not going to tell you all about ethology. I would hate to see a book title. He'll get all out of there.
Ethology.
All about something.
Yeah.
Nobody knows all about anything. Yeah. All about geraniums. Or all about jumping mice.
Yeah.
Nobody knows anything like that. No, nobody knows anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, something about them.
Sure.
You stand on each other's shoulders and learn a little more. And somebody comes along and says, it's all wrong anyway. And what the hell? That's how you build a wall.
Yep. That's how you do it.
That's right.
Hold them just a little at a time.
Somebody wasn't like that at all.
No.
He plagiarized the student's work as his own. That's how drunk mind does that.
That's true.
Awful that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So people generally just didn't pay attention to him after a while.
Hmm.
I just got home, students all over. Mm-hmm.
John Ahlquist is the name I was trying to come up with.
Ahlquist.
A-L-H-T-U-I-S-T.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a student.
He worked with Sibley for a long, long time after he went to Yale.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised he can put up with him that long.
I am too. And of course, Fred Sibley, who was no relation to Charles Sibley, put up with him for the whole time.
I'd watch that and wonder.
Fred's retired and back to Alpine.
Good.
Studying dragonflies.
Good.
He's one of the three people in the state who've worked on dragonflies.
I was in my office at the old lab one time.